Podcasting from behind her locked bathroom door, the only quiet place in the house, this is the Homeschool Sanity Show, a twice-monthly podcast with expert advice for happier, healthier homeschool living. And now, here's your host, Christian psychologist and homeschool mom of six, Dr. Melanie Wilson.
Welcome to the Homeschool Sanity Show. Our topic for today is, would classical conversations be a good fit for your family? One of the most popular posts on my blog, psychowith6.com, is a post on classical conversations and suggesting that classical conversations should be a part of your curriculum. I discovered, because of a friend who had her children in classical conversations classes, outside classes, that I could use their excellent curriculum at home. And that is exactly what I did. I started using the materials to help my children memorize key information across many subject areas. And it's been such a popular post. People are always searching for more information on classical conversations. And I decided that it would be a great idea to invite two people to have a conversation about this fantastic curriculum and how they are using it in their homeschooling, because their experience is different than mine. My first guest is Kelly Graff. She has been homeschooling for 5 years, and she has been a foundations tutor for 3 years. And if you don't know what that means, she will explain that for us. I also have as my guest Mary Prather. She is a blogger at Homegrown Learners, and she has been also homeschooling for 5 years. And she has been using classical conversations for a year. She has a child who is in foundations and a child that is in Challenge A. Welcome, ladies, to the Homeschool Sanity Show.
Thank you.
I would like you, Kelly, to tell us a little bit more about you and your family.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. I've been looking forward to having this conversation. I live in St. Louis, and I've been, as you said, homeschooling for 5 years. I have a fabulous husband, and I have two boys. My youngest is in sixth grade, and my oldest is in eighth grade. So the oldest is actually doing the Challenge B program right now. And my youngest, he completed all three cycles of the foundation program, and right now we're just doing the writing, the essentials program, which is fabulous.
All right, wonderful.
Yeah.
And you told me that because of financial pressures in your family that you have another aspect to your life besides being a tutor and homeschooling your kids. And what is that?
I'm a real estate agent. It's something I've done forever. It's been in my blood, and it was a nice option for me to have the flexibility to work, but yet still be involved in my children's education. I currently am not tutoring the foundations class, but I did tutor them for 3 years prior to me starting back to work.
Okay. Thanks for clarifying that for me, Kelly. And Mary, can you tell us a little bit more about you and your family?
Sure. We have been homeschooling, like you said, for 5 years. And my husband and I have been married for 17 years, and we have two children. My daughter, Anna, is 12, and she's in the Challenge A program. And my son, Grant, is 9, and he is in the Foundations program. And this is our first year with classical conversations.
Okay, great. And we're going to hear more about how that's working for your family. The first thing that I wanted to ask the two of you, though, is, why did you decide to homeschool? Kelly, let's start with you. What was appealing about the homeschooling lifestyle for you?
Well, the homeschooling lifestyle actually at first terrified me. The thought of homeschooling was very overwhelming, but I was a corporate girl. I was very involved in day-to-day corporate life, and I just was really bothered by the dropping my children off and leaving, and started to be bothered by how attached they were becoming to their teachers. And, you know, I just really stepped back and I thought, wait a minute, you know, what am I doing here? And I'm going to blink and they're going to be gone. So That, in addition to, I had them in a private school, like I said, and they were in a great situation, but I also really didn't like some of the social aspects of that whole scene, if you will, of being in a classroom with 30 other children their age coming from all different backgrounds and homes and values. So I made the decision, my husband and I prayed about it, and I quit my job. It was a very radical decision. I quit my job and pulled my children out of school, my oldest at the end of his third grade year and my youngest in the middle of his kindergarten year. And I actually started with my kindergarten gardener at a suggestion of a friend to kind of my way into it.
Okay. Mary, how does that fit with your experience of deciding to homeschool?
Well, you know, as I listen to Kelly talk, I think she and I probably have a lot in common. I also pulled my oldest out in the third grade, and my son has never been to school. I mean, he went to preschool, but he had never been to public school like my daughter. I was actually a public school teacher, and I have a master's degree in public school administration. So I was the biggest advocate for public education you could find. But once my own child was in that system, I came to discover how flawed it was. And it was flawed for my child. And it was just, you know, like Kelly said, that attachment that she was having to her teachers and to the peers, when I knew she should be having that attachment here at home. And it was a nagging feeling for almost 4 years that mm-hmm. I just could do it better myself and that education could be more. So that's when we decided to homeschool, and we've never looked back.
Well, that's an inspirational testimony from both of you for anyone who's thinking about homeschooling, and so I hope it is helpful to you if you're trying to decide and listening to this. But today we're going to talk about one option for homeschooling your children, and that is to use a program called Classical Conversations. And Kelly, I was hoping that you could explain to us what it is, especially for those who have no exposure to it.
Sure, I'd be happy to. Classical Conversations is a classic home education approach with a biblical worldview. They are classical in the fact that they implement the trivium. If you get involved with Classical Conversation, you will hear them talk about the trivium a lot. And that is basically talking about the three different stages of a child that they go through in their learning. The first being grammar. The grammar stage is like what we call that Paul Parrot stage, where it's knowledge, memory. You're just pumping tons of information into them because it's shown that in those younger ages, even as young as first grade, kindergarten, all the way up until the grammar stage goes until, oh, Mary, what is it, about the fifth grade?
Middle school.
And so that is just pumping them full of information, parts of an animal cell, parts of a cell, a human cell, the different phases of the moon. And so they just learn it rotely. The second stage is dialectic, and that is more of thinking about what they've learned and processing what does that really mean, what I just learned, and being able to build on that base of knowledge that that child has learned so well. And then the rhetoric stage is more of the teenage years, the junior high, high school age, where they are learning the art of communicating what they know. And it's a beautiful system. And the classical model in the secular world is missing the piece of combining a biblical worldview with that. Everything that Classical Conversation does, it's like knowing God is the center, it's the hub of the wheel. And all the other subjects just spoke off of that, you know, God being the center of it all. And we relay that to the children in science of, look how amazing God is and these facts. I mean, who can put together an animal cell with such intricate detail? Only our God. So that's just kind of a flavor of what Classical Conversations is about.
And I'm using it in a very non-traditional way, correct? I'm using the materials at home by myself. But what is the usual order when you have a child that is involved in classical conversations?
The typical order, if you start at the beginning of the program, and I hope I'm understanding your question properly.
Okay.
But you start at the grammar stage. Is that what you mean, Melanie, as far as how you progress up through it, or what does your day look like?
More what would your day look like? So if I enroll my kids in a community program, what would that be like?
So we meet one day a week, and it is a long day. It is full. But we start early in the morning in a general assembly. Our community would start with our memory verse. And our memory verse, a lot of times, like one year we memorized 1 John, and it was the memory for the whole year. And so we would get together, we would do our pledges, we would do our memory work, and typically we learned that with a song attached to it. And then we would have a family that would present. Each family would have a turn to put together a family presentation. That's a fabulous thing about classical conversation, is it teaches those getting up those skills of speaking up in front of people. And from there, you break out and you go into your appropriate classes of the different ages, and you spend 30 minutes introducing the new grammar for that week. And it's got to go fast. It's like 5 minutes per topic that you go through. And then you have time for art. You have an art project. You have a science project. Then you have 30 minutes for games. And the games are what the kids always looked forward to. And the games were always surrounding the memory. It was all memory games. So that's typically the morning. And Mary, did I forget anything on the typical morning?
I don't think so.
Okay. And then the children would oftentimes, the older children, then we go to lunch. If there's a park nearby, they go and they run and they play and they have a crazy time. And then the older children come back for essentials, which is the writing program, writing, English, and math games.
Well, it sounds like a very comprehensive program and well put together. What was it about it, Mary, that most appealed to you when you first learned about classical conversations?
Well, I think you just nailed it when you say that it is very comprehensive. To tell you the truth, I was kind of getting tired and I was getting burned out. We were schooling kind of in a classically eclectic manner. And after 5 years of doing that and coming up with my own plans for every single subject, it was finally nice to be in a community and using a curriculum where a lot of the planning was done for me. I would have to say, too, that as my daughter was finishing up her sixth grade year at home, we were searching. We had had a hard year, and I knew that I needed more accountability. She needed more accountability. And when we went to watch and observe the challenge program, I just fell in love with it right away. So I would have to say that the challenge program really pulled me in first. And then as I got to know more about foundations, I liked it even more.
Okay. All right. Well, Kelly, you mentioned that you're not tutoring this year. How are you using classical conversations in your own homeschooling now?
This year, what we are doing, it's kind of a hybrid approach, which was what is nice about the program is you can do a la carte if you need to. My youngest is of the age where he could be in the foundations class, but he wanted, after doing all three cycles, he wanted to take a break. So we are doing only the afternoon essentials program. We are doing the writing, the English, and the math game program for him. And my oldest, my 13-year-old, is in the Challenge B program. He completed Challenge A, and he is in Challenge B, which is pretty much grade equivalent with eighth grade.
Okay. Can you explain for our listeners who may not know what the cycles are?
Certainly. There are three cycles, and it's basically three educational blocks, if you will, of grammar. And when we say grammar, that's just facts and knowledge that you're teaching the children. So there's so much information, they break it up into what they call cycles. But they're really information chunks, if you will, that they cover for that year. And instead of changing and adding information along the way, they have these three set previously agreed upon data pieces, and they just keep cycling through them. So if my youngest would have participated in Foundations this year, he would have repeated a cycle of information that he had already had. So it is possible for a child, if they start in kindergarten, first grade, to repeat the same information twice before they get to the challenge program. It's, okay. I think it's a great setup because it's just reinforcing that information that they need.
And how does it fit in with other curriculum that you may be using at home? So kids are learning, you know, maybe basic history facts as part of their classical conversations day. Mm-hmm. And then you are at home maybe using, you know, a certain history curriculum that you're going more in depth.
Right.
So how does that fit together?
It's funny you ask. I started with doing sunlight, and then I added classical conversations, and we tried to keep doing our sunlight, and it was just so frustrating. So we, the following year, dropped the sunlight and just did classical conversations, but my kids were bored because they were used to all the great stories with sunlight. I have found that, and I cannot remember the name of the website, but it's out there, where a mom has taken the classical cycles through classical conversation and matched up the sunlight books that go along with each cycle. Had I known that when I first started, that would be how I would approach it. Because it, you know, for us, just doing classical conversations was leaving them yearning for those rich books that you get with like the sunlight curriculum.
All right. Well, I am going to see if I can find that website, and I will include it on our show notes at ultimateradioshow.com. If you go to the Homeschool Sanity Show button and scroll down, you will see Would Classical Conversations Be a Good Fit for Your Family? And you will see the show notes as well as other links that we discuss as we go along. Mary, did you have anything that you wanted to say about, you know, how the classical conversations memory work fits along with other subjects that you study?
Well, you know, when Kelly's talking about history, we were sunlight users at first, and then we switched with history to the story of the world. Mm-hmm. And they give a lot of great recommendations for read-alouds in there, too. And I have kind of searched out when we have a memory sentence, I will search out the chapter that it coincides with in the story of the world, and then search out the living books that go along with that. And that's been a real good supplement for history, at least in our house.
All right. Very good. Mary, you mentioned what you were looking for when you first heard about classical conversations and what appealed to you then. Are there things that you have learned to love about it now?
Yes, I have. I just love, and especially for my youngest, because he's a real numbers and detail kind of guy, I love how that this information just sticks with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got a little, it's like a photo album that contains all of his memory work. And he bases his day on starting it with that memory work. So there's just a predictability. And then all that information is sticking with them. When they tell you a classical conversation, that this gives your children pegs on which they can base all of their knowledge, I would believe it. I mean, as an adult, it's giving me a lot of pegs to base all my knowledge on, too.
It is really incredible for me because I use the history cards. I'm not sure what you call them officially.
The timeline cards, right?
The timeline cards. Thank you. And I have my children memorize those in order. This is the second year that we've been going over them. And it is just incredible to me how my kids know the order of the major events of history. And then as we study history more in depth, they have that framework to put that information into. It's just like a general understanding. It's like the language of history, if you will, that you can then build on that learning. So I am very much a fan of that way of learning. Well, Kelly, you have a different experience than Mary and I do, and that is that you have been a tutor for Classical Conversations. Can you tell us what has been the best thing about being a tutor, and then what was maybe a challenge about being a tutor?
I think the best part for me of being a tutor, there's two parts to that. The one being, it gave me a really fun excuse to be goofy. I just love that. I just loved being able to sit back and look at, you know, these very boring, you know, very boring list of facts and think, okay, how can we make this fun for these 9-year-old boys? And that I love. I just love that challenge and making up funny songs to help that memory stick for them, seeing them laugh and seeing the light bulb come on and seeing the pride in their eyes when I look at them and I say, name for me the parts of an animal cell. And they just rattle it off. And just the pride that brings for them in a very positive way. I love that. And I also loved learning new things personally and being very entrenched in my son's education. I just, when I was a tutor, and the nice thing is I would come home and I would be able to replicate the class for him at home because I knew the grammar. I learned the timeline and we did it together, and that was super neat. I really enjoyed that experience. And a lot of the moms were wonderfully involved, but when you have to sit down and prepare a class and put together the memory. And, you know, there's a resource online where tutors share ideas as far as different ways to present the material. It's a gold mine because there's a lot of creative moms out there. But when you have to sit and work through that process yourself, I think it gives you a deep understanding of what that child is having to learn that week. The most challenging thing for me, and I think it was just a personality issue, was crowd control in the classroom. You know, I had all boys except for two girls, and I had a big class. I probably had a bigger class than I should have had. And, you know, it was the 9 to 11-year-old type age, and we would start out having fun, but it was often having to be reined back in, and that's just not my gift, I guess, is that whole classroom management. Mary, I probably should have called you with you being an administrator and gotten some information from you on how to handle that.
I think I gave him the evil eye.
Yeah, there you go. But overall, it was a fantastic experience. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
That is great. And did tutoring then help you offset the tuition for your kids?
Yes, it did.
Be involved? Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the way it worked is with however many children were in my classroom, you know, it was like I was a private contractor is how it works. And I would get paid per child, and then that payment would help offset my costs, which, as I said, I quit my job, and that income was really the only way we could swing it financially at that time.
Okay. If someone is interested in becoming a tutor, what should they do?
They should locate their local communities and speak to the director. Each community has a director, which is kind of like the mini principal of the community, and just speak to the director and see if there's any openings. A lot of communities have the problem of growing pains. There's just such a demand for it. They fill up quickly, and so there could quite possibly be an opportunity to add another class. Oftentimes we needed nursery workers because there were lots of babies of moms that needed to be in class with their kids. And that's the other thing. It's not a drop-off program. The foundations and essentials in those younger years, the moms have to be present in the classrooms.
Very good. That makes it different from a lot of co-ops, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm. All right, very good. Well, Mary, you have combined notebooking with classical conversations. Can you explain what notebooking is in case we have some newer homeschoolers who aren't familiar, and then tell us about how you've combined those two?
Right. Well, I guess the best thing that I can do is refer your listeners to my friend Jimmy. She's the notebooking fairy. And you can find her at thenotebookingfairy.com. And that's really where I was learning how to notebook. It's essentially just making a scrapbook of our learning. And so when I have a particular subject, let's say we are learning about Eli Whitney and his cotton gin, I will search around on the internet to try and find an Eli Whitney notebooking page. And I'll print that out, and then we'll either read a living book about Eli Whitney, or I love to use the Kingfisher History Encyclopedia, and we'll look him up. And then, so my son can demonstrate what he has comprehended, I will have him write a little bit on his notebooking page. He's also free to draw pictures or look up any other facts. So we incorporated notebooking with history, with science, with math, with music. I mean, really, you could do it with any subject. But for us, I just really like that it's a scrapbook of our learning. And my son takes great pride in his CC notebook that he's creating.
That's really neat. So you can really take the learning deeper, and then you can use that notebook to help him review as well.
Right, exactly. And he's the kind of a kid that needs to be kept busy 24/7 or else there might be trouble. So I always just make sure that I load up his notebook with blank notebooking pages. And
I think we're living parallel lives.
Oh,
I need to visit your webpage. It sounds amazing.
Well, we just stay stocked up with a lot of Sharpies and a lot of Latham's and a lot of scissors, and it's an outlet for creativity for him, which he desperately needs.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
That is great. A great tip, and I'm going to ask you some more about other ideas that you have for us in a minute.
Sure.
But first I would like to know if either of you are planning on making changes to how you use classical conversations next year. Kelly, how about you?
Well, I've actually, it's funny you ask. I was just having that conversation with my husband. And my goal next year is to, we're going to put my youngest back in the program.
Okay, very good. How about you, Mary?
I was listening with interest as Kelly was talking about tutoring, because I'm contemplating being a tutor next year. So I think that might kind of ramp up how we're using CC at home. Truthfully, this year we've just been kind of getting our feet wet with it. And next year I want to try and be more intentional about having everything memorized and you know, maybe trying to let my son go for Memory Master one day. And I just think now that we know about it, we can probably take it to the next level.
Okay. Can you explain what Memory Master is, Mary?
Well, I think, I mean, Kelly, you might need to correct me, but from what I understand, it's a child that has learned all of the grammar for all three cycles and can be tested on that and demonstrate that they have learned all of it. Am I correct?
Yes, it's just that they have to, you said all three cycles, but it's the grammar for that one cycle for that year.
Okay, so they can do it for each cycle.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, so
okay.
Let's say this year you completed cycle one or two. It would be basically a test, if you will, just like you said, of their memory of all six subjects for that year.
Okay.
To be sure that, and it's, you know, they don't allow any errors. It has to be checked and double-checked, and it's impressive. It's impressive
right.
what these kids can learn.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We've been talking in glowing terms about classical conversations, but do you think that there are children or families who are just not suited to it? How about you, Kelly?
I think it is really a beautiful option for most families. I cannot think of one family that walked away saying this is not for us. And we had, you know, from one end to the other of different types of learners. And that's the nice thing about classical conversations is that it appeals to all different learning styles. So, no, I think that it works for any type of family and at whatever level of commitment they're willing to put into it, whether it's you just go on a Tuesday and you walk away with whatever you walk away with or you notebook like Mary does.
Kelly, in case we have someone listening in St. Louis and they need a realtor, we are going to have your realtor link on the show notes. And,
that's great. Thank you.
And I know that you are very involved in our, well, not necessarily very involved, but you're involved in our share support group in St. Louis. So if we have any share members listening, they can get in touch with you and ask you some more questions about classical conversations. I know you've been a great resource for me when I've had questions. So thank you so much for sharing with us. And Mary, I know that you offer some free printables like Scripture Memory to go along with classical conversations on your blog, homegrownlearners.com. Are there any other resources that we can find there?
Right. Well, I've been blogging now for about 4 years, so I'm starting to build up a lot of resources. I put out unit studies. I'm a former elementary school music teacher, so I offer a lot of music lessons that are for free on my blog. I write a music appreciation curriculum called Squilt Music, and that stands for Super Quiet Uninterrupted Listening Time. And I have free Squilt lessons that are on my blog. And I also, if any of your listeners are on CC Connected, I have music resources that coincide with the cycle we're in now, cycle two. And my name on CC Connected is Musical Mary.
Musical Mary?
Yes, Musical Mary.
Okay. All right, very good. Well, this has just been excellent. I am inspired to continue using classical conversations, and I know whether someone who is listening had no idea what classical conversations was or whether they're involved, I know they're going to be inspired by what you shared. So thank you, ladies, both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Thank you for joining us for the Homeschool Sanity Show with Dr. Melanie Wilson. Visit Melanie at psychowith6.com, that's the number 6, for more sanity-saving ideas. The Homeschool Sanity Show is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.